Good Sunday morning. Say hello, Linda.
Good morning.
And this is Dave. And we're happy to have you with us and hope you enjoy the show. We encourage anybody to call in. Our call-in number is 646-787-1589. Let me give it to you one more time. 646-787-1589. And so our topic this morning, I'm going to start with, I have good news and bad news. Which would you like first, Linda?
The good news.
The good news is we're going to talk to folks about how to reinvigorate their relationship with the Lord, or invigorate if they're new to that relationship. That's the good news. Would you like to hear the bad news?
I guess so.
The bad news is we need this as bad as any of our listeners.
Yeah,
and I guess that's kind of good news, bad news.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I was reading a blog from my spiritual mentor, and as always, he's always really, really good. But one of the things he says is if you are struggling and you're you know, not doing really well and you're failing, guess what? You're qualified for help. And I'm like, right there.
Yeah.
So Linda and I were talking just yesterday about both of us are feeling like our relationship isn't as healthy as it could be. Now, this is the time, and this is one of the things I want to share as we talk through this, is there's no reason to go into depression over this. There's no reason to beat yourself up and just allow our enemy and your own flesh to feel guilty and, oh, what a worm I am. That's a given. We already know that. I know that. I know I'm, you know, don't misunderstand. Linda's probably not going to like the way I say this. I am a worm.
I'm not.
You know, I do mess up. And God's not surprised, disappointed, or mad at me about that. And therefore, I shouldn't be. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't look at it and go, hey, this has got to change. You know? So the reason I'm kind of bringing this in is, again, maybe this is an opportunity to talk about why we have this radio or blog talk. And the reason we have it is because we're like you. We have the same struggles. You know, we're not on a pedestal. We're not church leaders. Neither one of us holds any church positions or anything like that. In fact, sometimes we've thought about changing this to the name of the show to The View from the Pew.
Yeah, we're The View from the Pew. And that, you know, I'm over beating myself up about stuff. I feel like God doesn't beat us up about that. And you said that, and that's a good statement. And I'm even over I'm a worm and all of that. I am a child of God. I'm an heir of his salvation, and I see myself that way, but I fall down and mess up. Now, that's a given. It doesn't make me less than anybody else or a worm or all of that. I kind of hold myself up. I'm trying. I don't have it all the way. I'm trying to hold myself up to look at myself as he sees me, fearfully and wonderfully made.
And don't misunderstand, and this is part of the Christian process, maturity, whatever. You get to the place where you can reconcile these two things. And I feel like I have most of the time. And that is, I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in this flesh and bone and blood,
yes, Lord,
of mine that doesn't always go where it needs to be going and all those things. So I guess what I really should say is I know what I'm capable of as far as falling.
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't see that. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I understand exactly what you're saying. I am a child of the King. And thank goodness. Thank God.
Now, I would feel like a worm and all of that if I was not.
Right. But
his
thank
child.
God.
Yeah.
He sees us with the righteousness of Christ.
He does. And he sees
and he
us.
Never doesn't see us that way.
Right. He sees us in our full potential. He sees the end from the beginning. And I'm trying, and it's a process. It's always ever reminding myself of my inner talk that I need to talk in my inward man. In putting on the new man, my inward man has to talk the right talk in his mind.
Right.
And so, I do beat myself up, but I have to rethink and revise that thinking inward in my thinking. And I'm really trying to see myself as God sees me. And it's a process. It's a daily, hourly process. And I feel like that's some of the ways that we unplug, that we, like you said.
We're going to go there.
We plug up the pipe is when we don't, or when we don't try to see ourselves as the heir of salvation, the kings and queens that he has placed us to be.
Right. So let's take a moment to prepare ourselves and our listeners for what is where we're going. And that is, like you said, this isn't about beating yourself up. It's about allowing God and yourself to get back on track,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word. And so, you know, so I want to, and it gets complicated to me. It's somewhat complicated because there's so many aspects of this. And as I continue to walk the Lord, I get better at this. I understand it better, but I still struggle. So I'm just going to talk about where I am, because
okay.
I think it's a fair illustration. It's probably pretty common. Where I'm just still kind of, I know the Lord is there.
Yeah.
And I'm not feeling it.
I'm
just not, you know. Now, I do believe there are times that you will go through where that just is what it is for that period of time. I think sometimes the Lord lets us kind of, I don't want to say go through a dry season exactly, but I don't know what else to call it, where there's nothing wrong. We haven't done anything. We haven't, you know, there's no besetting sin that's not been dealt with. It's just dry. And I've been there. And say, well, what's wrong? What have I done wrong? And find out, I haven't done anything wrong. This is just a season.
It is a season, and I feel like it's a season that we are just not connected. It's not him, it's us. We are just not as connected as we, and not to be, we just maybe aren't plugging in as much. Maybe you've been busy. You haven't spent time in prayer. You haven't read the word. Whatever, you know, everybody has different things that helps them feel connected to God. And sometimes for me, because I'm feeling that now, and it's not, I don't feel like lost my faith or any of those things. It's just that I don't feel the closeness that I felt maybe even a year ago. And some of it I feel like in my own is that the busyness of life, that I am one of these people, I'm doing better at getting back on it, but I fall off and then I have to, oh, wait a minute, let me get back on.
Well,
it's just
okay, so share the getting on, because I think that is how you get replugged or unclogged, because we've used it, and I'm going to share the illustration because it's worked for me. Of a plumbing situation.
That's a good.
And I've got a pipe between me and God, and in that pipe flows all the insight and words and camaraderie and fellowship and all those good things that just make life better. And then maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's just a poor way of thinking. Maybe I just haven't spent time and I'm not listening. And he's going, okay, if you're not going to listen, you know, then I'm not going to sit. And the pipe sort of gets clogged. And hopefully it never gets completely clogged.
Thank God for that.
And also want to make sure our listeners and remind myself that the pipe never, ever gets severed. It's never broken.
Thank God. And no, it's not.
And
you know, just like you just need to pour in a little, what they say, Drano or something.
Drano.
And that's the word, and spending time.
So we're going to try to give you the Drano this morning.
The Drano for me. And I think for every person, it could be a little bit different. your way to connect and to feel his presence for me. And when I don't do this, I feel it. And if I do it a couple of days in a row, I really feel it. If I have, for me, it's the morning. That is a very sacred time for me. These few minutes, and sometimes it doesn't have to be a long time. You don't have to do, you know, everybody, it's the time that you can spend. Sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's an hour. But it's sitting quietly, and it's my prayer time. But then it's my time to listen to him. So I pray and I listen. And sometimes I read the word, and sometimes I read some inspiring literature, devotional or something like that, to kind of help. And it's my, and sometimes I play music. Sometimes I have a candle going. It's different, but it's just a sacred time. And when I spend that time, even if it's only 15 minutes, to me, it paces my day, and I feel plugged into him, and then I can do it. Now that I'm kind of working different hours, sometimes that time, the car has become a very sacred space for me. While I'm driving through traffic, I turn the radio off and everything, and I just say, hey, Lord, I'm here. Do you have anything new for my day? Or, you know, sometimes I do find myself running off my list. But then I always try to remind myself, hey, what is God saying to me? You know, and sometimes even in family relationships, sometimes we just have to be quiet to listen to what is being said.
So really what you're doing, I don't want to say this not correct, then correct me. You're really making yourself available to God. And I think sometimes, I know, I'll own this, I think 90% of the time when I'm in this little place, I'm just not feeling quite right, I haven't made myself give, I haven't given God a quality period of time to communicate with me. And I'm pretty sure that's what the issue is right now, is that I mean, you know, you've been busy, I've been busy, we're trying to get all this stuff done, and, you know, you come home, and between the drive and my work, it's an 11 or 12-hour day.
It is 11 or
12. And you come home, and you know, and it's so easy just to, I'm just going to watch the latest Longmire series, you know, because I don't have to think, I'm entertained, and I've got to find, because the time's there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say, you know what? This is not nearly as important as me just taking that same 45 minutes and saying, Lord, I'm here. And maybe I won't get any big insight. Maybe it's just me and him being quiet together. But it still is that communion that healthifies us.
Healthifies. Well, I mean, some days I miss it, and some days it's a couple of days in a row.
You really miss it, and
I really miss it, and I'll be like, wait a minute, what's wrong with me? Because I will feel in me like.
Do you get ornery?
I get ornery and a little irritable and all of that, and I don't have the patience with people that I need to have.
And all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, ooh, my attitude stinks.
I don't like this. And then I'll be like, oh, but it's been about 4 days since I've talked to God. I mean,
really
spent some time.
Quality.
Yeah, and so then I have to, that's what I meant by I get off the wagon, and then I'm like, oh, well, let me get back on.
And here's the good news, folks, for those who may be sort of new in their walk, you do get where you miss it.
Yeah.
It's not work anymore. It's, you know, it's like an old married couple.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. And it really is. I am the bride of Christ.
We are. We are the bride of Christ. So you got to have that time. Just like you, Dave and I make time for each other. We're both busy doing a lot of different things. And that is one of the things that I appreciate about our marriage is that we will date each other.
Yeah,
we do that.
We have a perfect illustration of just yesterday. Well, I won't go into details, but I was a little peeved about a couple of things. And Linda had a couple of things you need to talk to me about, you know. And we put it off, you know, and then we sit down and we talk about, all of a sudden we're all healthy again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good illustration, because that's how, what you got to do in a marriage. And folks, we are married to Christ,
mm-hmm.
and we have a Father who wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wants us to come to Him with anything and everything, and if we'll listen, He'll offer some really good advice.
He will. And there are times, you are right, there are times when, well, you know, sometimes the only thing I get, which is phenomenal in itself when you unpack it, sometimes I spend time, and when I'm listening to Him, I get, I love you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that may be all I get, but it's so powerful to hear from the Creator of the universe that He loves me. And sometimes I even take that for granted, how much He loves me. That's my message for today for Him, is that He loves me. Now, there are times I get detailed instructions from, I'll give you an example. This week, this may sound simple, but I have prayed, and I was kind of in a moment in the car, and the Lord told me, stay in this lane.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. And I was like, stay in this lane. If I move over to this left, I'll get there a little faster, and I won't have. He said, stay in this lane. So I said, okay, I'll stay in the lane. Well, sure enough, as I was getting off to work, that was the lane that was, and I know that sounds trivial to some people, but the other two lanes and the lane next to me, it was a four lane, they were just clogged with traffic. And I was in this one lane that kept going through. And I mean, and you can
use
that.
Wow, that's a good illustration in and of itself. Actually.
It is, really. And that's why I said it may sound trivial, but it was a steady flow of traffic in that lane. Not that it was any accidents or anything, but I think that was the day I told you. That was one of the days I got to work. I mean, I left later. It got to work faster than normal, and I just listened to Him. So really, as I'm saying it to you guys, I'm almost getting a download from that. If you stay in His lane,
right.
When He tells
that's
you at the time that He tells you, you
stay
will
in the
flow.
Lane.
Stay in His lane. It will flow. Your life in this traffic, I just flow through. But, you know, that's one of the things to unplug, too. Stay in your lane and listen to Him.
Yeah.
What else? How do you get unplugged?
Well, for me, I know the answer, and it's a discipline, and I want to say holy discipline, which is another topic we're going to deal
mm-hmm.
with one day, in that it's not ritualistic, it's not legalistic, it's just a good habit,
mm-hmm.
and I just have to turn everything off, all gadgets, everything, and go sit someplace that is quiet. You know, it could be the deck, it could be our prayer room, but it needs any place. I mean, actually, it could be in the middle of a whole bunch of people at Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I am doing my best to be tuned in. And guys, I don't know why we do this. I do it. Everybody seems to do it. Maybe it's culture. I don't know. That we forget all our relationship knowledge sometimes when it comes to God. Same things that you would do with any relationship.
Right.
If I feel like there's something between Linda and I, we need to sit down and communicate and talk about it. Otherwise, it festers. And
right.
I'm bad about letting things
fester. We both
fester.
Are.
Much better than I used to be. But I'm the guy who will take one little thing and look at it, think about it, and 2 days later, I'm upset. You know, over something that didn't really matter because I didn't talk about it. I didn't put it out there and go, hey. You know, and a lot of times we don't, and maybe this is true too. The Lord just said this. A lot of times the reason we don't want to talk about it, let me own this. A lot of times the reason I don't want to talk about something is because I feel like I'm being challenged. That what I'm irritated about, really I shouldn't be irritated about, and I'm just being a big baby. And sometimes that's true.
Sometimes
go ahead,
not.
Linda. Yeah.
No, I was going to say sometimes not. Which we had a discussion yesterday in which you brought up was very valid.
Right.
And sometimes it is, and sometimes, you know, I think sometimes we just don't want to confront.
Well,
yes, so
sure.
That is not you know, nobody wants to confront somebody else.
But I want to stay on the spiritual side of this and the relationship side. So just like I want to put it off because it doesn't reflect well on me. Mm-hmm. Make, you know, this whole thing I'm peeved about does feel kind of childish, and but it still needs to be talked about. It still needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Lord. I wonder if sometimes, but I just like, Lord, I hate to admit it, I'm really struggling with this or that. Well, let me tell you, folks, He is a Father.
Mm-hmm.
This always helps me. Is when I remind myself I have a heavenly Father who wants me to talk to Him about these things because He has all the answers. You know, I mean, you still got to exercise and you still got to walk through them, but, I mean, talk about good advice.
Well, and just like any father or parent, when you come to them, sometimes He's encouraging us to go within ourselves because we got the answers, or sometimes really you do know the right thing to do.
Sure.
But to me, He is like a great parent in that He kind of encourages you to get the answer yourself. You know what I'm saying? He encourages you to pull that out because sometimes I feel like He just says, and so what is right?
Oh, yeah.
What is good? And that is the decision-making for what you need to do. So, really, he pulls it for me, and everybody's different. I feel like He'll cause me to think about, well, Father, this is the right thing to do, you know?
And He kind of goes, well, yeah.
Yeah. And so the answer was there. You do that for your kids. You help your kids more when you encourage them to find the right answer for themselves and to take responsibility for their actions. If you can teach children that at a young age, wow.
Well, you're a clinical trained clinical counselor. You're a coach. You help people with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
One of, and you know this better than I do, one of the first things you do is to healthify. I bet if I knew what. Help someone get healthy in relationships is for them to recognize their own situations. You know, places where maybe they have unforgiveness, places where they have guilt and they haven't forgiven themselves, you know. And then finally, one of the things you have to do, and this is what you were talking about, is take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Quit blaming everybody else. You know, my mom did this, and my dad did that, my brothers did this, and society and culture and all that stuff, and own your stuff.
And I think that sometimes that even brings back to plugging up. When you are holding resentment and unforgiveness or whatever, and we've all done it, you're plugged. You've plugged up the pipeline. And once you can let go and say, Lord, you know, and it doesn't happen right away, but He'll take you through the journey of forgiveness. Or getting rid of that anger that you're holding on to for something that happened 20 years ago.
It's cholesterol
mm-hmm.
in the blood, man.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
I mean, it really is. It's plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can clean out that plaque, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a church in Selma, and they have a ministry called the, and I think it's fine for me to talk about this, called the Lazarus Ministry. And it's a 3-day, and really what it boils down to is it's helping people to accept their responsibility in their walk, to stop blaming everybody else, to forgive
mm-hmm.
themselves and others. And, man, I've been through that, and I'm telling you, when I got finished, I felt like I had a new relationship with the Lord because I got rid of those things that were holding me back, clogging the pipe.
Yeah.
You know, once
there
and
is
for
a
all,
couple of ministries this. Like that. There's a Freedom Ministry. There is a Soho, and that is the Release and Forgiveness. I've been through a Soho ministry. And there are other things that different churches offer to, and because sometimes you need help.
Sure.
Because sometimes you hidden that for so long, or you held on to her long, so long that you don't realize that what I'm walking in is unforgiveness or resentment, or, you know, just feeling neglected or put aside, and you've held on to that and the tendencies of that, and so you can't move further. You're stuck at a certain place. So sometimes just, and you don't recognize it anymore. So sometimes the,
keep going.
Yeah, sometimes just having to walk through that is.
Well, there are, I didn't really plan on going here, but it is very applicable. As you said, there are churches, organizations who specialize and have trained counselors to help you recognize where these places are. And man, when I did this, the big day was Saturday, and you spent all day with at least two other people who would listen to you and who had already seen some of the things that you had shared on paper and help you deal with them. And when I remember distinctly on Sunday morning being in the shower and just all of a sudden, wow, I felt clean. I felt like it's hard to explain. And so I want to encourage somebody, if they're stuck,
mm-hmm.
or even if they don't think they are, it's still a good idea to go, let somebody kind of examine you a little bit, you know.
And see.
Trusted person, of course.
Yeah, always trusted, always somebody. One of the things with going through these ministries is you don't want someone that is judgmental. Have a trusted people, and the people that do these type of freedom trainings, Soho, Lazarus, most of the people, because I've gone through a training to help people with it, there are people who are trained to do that, and you really want to go through it with somebody that is trained to help you get released through that.
Amen.
But you also can begin the process just by spending time in prayer and asking God, show me the places where I'm stuck, Father God, and help me release so that I just have that direct pipeline to you. Where am I, or using your terminology, where am I clogged up? And, you know, sometimes we have held on to stuff so long that we've kind of forgotten that we got stuck at this place. Like if you got a divorce 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you can't move forward because you still blame another person, blaming yourself. And so sometimes you've forgotten that that was the place that you were stuck at.
Yeah.
I call it, you know, where pieces of your soul kind of got clogged up there. So.
Yeah, and I've also heard the term, and use it myself, of have these chains
mm-hmm.
that are binding me up,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not enjoying the complete freedom in Christ because they're weighing me down,
mm-hmm.
and I don't even know it. I know in my Lazarus experience, there were a couple things that these people said, well, Dad, what about this? Boy, once we started down that track, the light bulb goes on, and the light is shining on this little piece of darkness, and it was great. Now, it wasn't fun.
No, it's not fun.
It wasn't that
fun. There will probably be some tears shed, but at the end of the journey, you will be released emotionally and emotionally free from some chains. I'm going to use that term, chains that are binding you. And sometimes we do know, we just forgot. And if you are easily angered by a situation, like
mm-hmm.
if you just bring it up and you are easily angered by that situation, if you can't move on, if you are still unpacking baggage from a past relationship, whether that be family, love, or whatever, and you bring it to, it affects every area of your life, you are still bound in some areas.
It's kind of hard to explain the difference between baggage and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I'll write that down again.
Mm-hmm.
Another topic.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowledge says I'm learning from past experience.
Mm-hmm.
Baggage says I'm dragging along
mm-hmm.
the guilt or the unforgiveness or the prejudice
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. of that situation. And most of the time it's a prejudice that hurts you in your next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see things, and you and I have experienced this, you see things that look, taste, and feel like your past experience, but they're not.
Right, and you, especially in a new relationship, you cannot hold that person accountable for what somebody else did in your past. And so when you see those things, that is time to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, in this area, I need your help. Do I need to forgive in this area? Do I need to let that go? That happened 20 years ago. Now we're in a new era.
And I can't visit those feelings that were related to that experience to my current experience. It's not fair to the other person.
Right.
And actually, it's not fair to me.
It's not fair to anybody involved, right. And like I said, these are instances where it clogs up the pipe because you're stuck there.
Well, I didn't think we were going to get this serious this morning, but man, but it's very applicable because I was just going to do the little small things like, you know, well, spend 15 minutes here, you know, and listen to the, you know, find some good speaker. Now we went to the to the deep stuff.
I got this there.
That's good. And so, again, go, you know, folks, if you're plugged into a really good church or group, ask some people about their experience and where they went, how they got help. You know, because there's more than likely somewhere in your area, probably not too far, is a ministry that does this kind of, I call it spiritual healing.
Yes.
And you'll hear that term a lot.
I think they have things, freedom techniques, or freedom work, where it's just releasing you from.
It's unclogging the pipe.
It's unclogging the pipe, right.
Master plumber. Now you're calling in the master
You're plumber. Calling in the master plugger, plumber to unplug and unbind the chains that keep us.
So as lay persons who are not master plumbers, I really just wanted to talk about those techniques. But I'm glad we went to the master plumber.
Well, because you know what? I think a lot of people suffer in their lives because they haven't handled a situation.
Oh, I know.
And not only do you suffer, but the people around you suffer because you haven't, or you're stuck.
We are, back to the worm versus not
right.
the worm, we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have all these things that will make us, and not make us, allow us to be who God really wants us to be, which is Christ on earth, you know, an example that if we could totally, completely clear the pipe, Katie barred the door.
Wow.
I mean,
well, but we would be taking over the earth realm.
Absolutely.
And which I feel like we do, let's give us, we do some, but we are not totally functioning and where God would want us to be. Because some of us, all of us, me, everybody.
We have this stuff.
We have this stuff that we have. And so God is teaching us, this is how you get rid of that. I'm here to help you with that. And I feel like we could come into our rightful place with the Lord and on the earth realm. Because we should be, we are the light.
Oh,
we are the light.
My spiritual mentor, everything he's put out this week, and now I know why, that I've read, has been talking about you already have everything you need in Christ. Accept it, believe it, and walk in it. So I think, you know, wow. And now I realize, oh, okay, but I got some house cleaning to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It doesn't make me bad.
You have the house.
Yeah, at least I have a house.
You have the pipe. You just got to clean them out a little bit. And so, we all do.
So let's go back to, because you know me, I always want to try to give me and our listeners some really practical things. So first of all, let's summarize what we just went through, and that is, if you've never been to a ministry or people who really specialize and spiritual healing, I would encourage you to do it. Now, talk to trusted people because you want to go to the good ones.
Yes.
You know, because there are charlatans out there.
Yeah, and there are people that can get you more about. So
there are people who are not plugged in, who are whatever. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Make sure you talk to people you really trust, someone who's already been there.
And there are trained people that had emotional freedom. That's what it's called, emotional freedom, SOHO. They're trained. I've gone through a session on how to do that. So there were other people
right.
there. They're trained to take people through the freedom and support them and guide them as they go through this emotional freedom. You know, I'm going to say technique, but it's really from God. But try to get people that are trained, and there are churches that specialize in that.
Absolutely.
So go to somebody that's trained. And it's also better to go to somebody that doesn't know you personally.
Right.
You know, because they're not.
The objectivity.
Yeah, it's because of the objectivity. So first find trained people in it.
So your friends and relatives are not the people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really want to do the work, now it's work, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the rewards are unbelievable, and I can speak to that personally, and so can you.
So can I. Yes, that really helped me.
If you've never done that, I would highly encourage you to begin to investigate, check around, talk to people. Find somebody who's already done it with the agency that they're recommended.
Right.
And then, you know, find a way to get plugged in.
Yes.
Now, where we really thought I was going this morning, let's get back to, okay, you've had that experience, you believe, you know, you've dealt with that stuff, but you're just going through that period of time where you just are not feeling the Lord.
And I feel like,
practical
steps is I plug in. For me, it is spending quiet time, and I call it that sometimes, my quiet time with
okay.
God.
So that's really your first primary tool.
It is my first and primary tool, and not so much that I'm, which I do that, but it's not about really me giving lists to God. I need this and this, and Lord would, and I do that. Don't mind me. I do that. But then also in my quiet time, I spend time listening for Him to speak back to me, and journaling what He said is another way for me.
So
everybody has different ways, but for me, I journal what I think He told me.
So let's make a list. One, put aside some time.
Yes.
Two, good idea to journal.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Sorry.
I journal, and for other people, I'm just throwing out ideas, and you throw out. Some people just listening, and I do that too. Sometimes I listen to quiet music that takes me to a place
mm-hmm.
with Him. Usually hymns or. I try to stay away from words, but whatever works for you. So I listen, and then I sometimes just listen to God. I'm not praying for anything. This is just my time to listen to God. And then I journal what I hear. And when I journal, I don't journal. I journal as if the Lord is speaking to me, and I sign it Abba.
Right. So it's like you're writing down what you are feeling and hearing.
Right.
And I have done the same thing, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. And I've gone back like years to see the growth, and when I follow that, how rewarding and where it took me in growth with that.
Right.
You know, and writing is for some people, but maybe say you're an artist or something. If you're an artist, and you like to draw what you
see.
Yeah, that's your expression. If you're a dancer.
But let God be the source of that inspiration.
Right.
Because some of the things, I bet you will echo this, that I have written
mm-hmm.
doing exactly what you're doing, I'll go back and go, wow, that was inspiring.
Well, and sometimes it's not even my verbiage.
Right.
Like, I have say that. That is too good. I know that had to come from the Lord, so it's amazing. But I feel like if you're an artist, if you're a dancer, dance what you hear Him say.
Yeah, don't be afraid to express yourself to God. My wife had the best word last week. I have thought on it all week. I haven't really gone to try to find verses or anything that support this, other than that God did encourage David to dance before him. But Linda said, when you dance before God, he saves your footsteps. Wow. I love that. And I somehow in my heart, I believe it's absolutely true. Can't prove it. I don't have scripture. But, man, I like that.
I read something to that effect before, but I feel like that was, he told me that in a quiet time. And maybe that's because I used to be a dancer in my younger days. And so sometimes I'll confess, though, I don't dance the way I did when I was 20.
But he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. I just get up and move the way, and it teaches you to really lean in on the Holy Spirit and hear him.
I love that.
I just get up and move the way I feel like he's telling me with my whole body.
And I hope Linda doesn't mind, but it is fun being in the house with Linda.
He's crazy.
Because I walk into rooms where she is expressing herself, and I'm like, wow, okay.
Oh, okay, I'm on the other room. Yeah, it looks crazy, so you might want to do it by yourself.
Yeah, you might want to do it in the privacy of your own home.
Right, so nobody sees you, but I guess I may have been, I like to write, I like to dance,
right,
and those kind of things. And so that is my communication with God.
Again, let's take that and let's share with us. So you like to write. Writing works better for me than anything. When you get up and move, and I will from time to time. You know, but I make sure nobody's looking.
Yeah, but you know, but he thinks he can't move, but he's a pretty smooth mover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But as you said a minute ago, if you're a painter,
paint what you
and
hear.
And let God flow.
Yeah.
And then let him tell you what to paint. And you, I think you maybe you will be amazed.
You will.
If you're a sculptor, then sculpt.
Or if you're a photographer,
then go take a picture.
Take the pictures and hear what God
is
saying through
the
picture. Whatever your gift, it will increase
your
risk.
And God has given me the word on this. It's called express.
Right.
Express yourself. Allow God to express himself
through you.
Man, if that doesn't unplug the pipe, I don't know
that
what would.
That can unplug the pipe. I'm going to tell you for me.
And I know it does for me.
It does. And it's whatever gift you have. If you are a gamer, I know that may sound really weird.
No, I'm not sure I can go with that.
But I don't know. There are some games that really are not, you know, demonized or anything like that. They're friendly games. You know, when they're going through paths and they get blocked in certain places and you can't get through and you have to go another path and find your way, that is the way it is in life, you know?
If you've gone that way, I will share another one that really is very much happens regularly to me. Movies.
Yeah.
God speaks to me in the movie. And there'll be a particular scene where I go, oh, yeah. You know.
And we both watch, together when you do that.
We watch, yeah. You know, God will speak to me and I'll see an illustration on the screen of an issue that I'm having, you know. And God said, look, here it is.
Well, he's taking your personal gift and consider that he speaks to you through your gift. So sometimes when your pipe is clogged, use your gift to hear God.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a musician, my God, I can only imagine. I sing, but, you know, trust me, that's my prayer. When I go to heaven, I'll be this wonderful singer. But if I was a musician, I know that would be the one of the ways that God could speak to me.
Again, so I'm going down the list, and it's materializing as we
right.
speak. Time, give us some time. Express yourself. Whatever, however that works. It could be writing in a journal. For me, that works.
I
think most people, lots and lots of people, that's an easy way to at least get started. And when you sit down, just kind of go, what do you want to talk about? And start writing it down. Because he will speak to you. I'm just encouraging you to give that a shot. But allow God to express himself through your unique talents or love or whatever. So it's expression. And then the other one that I want to talk about is praise. Boy, it unclogs pipes.
It sure does.
You know, so it, for me, it's old hymns. It's old Baptist hymns. I love them. I know the words. I can sing them anytime, any place. And when I'm really struggling, and this is not just when the pipe clogs, but when I'm just feeling overwhelmed, or I've got a situation at work that just is like, oh, and I'm in the car going to work and going, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be. That's when, if I will stop and go and just praise the Lord. And however that works for you. For me, like I said, I love singing hymns. But it, whatever.
And
but
for
just
me,
telling
it is
how
praise.
Good and how much you love him. And you know, next thing you know, you're realizing how good life really is, regardless of this issue. And that will refresh you, and it will unclog the pipe.
It will. For me, the praise, sometimes what helps me is when I go back and think of how many times he's brought me through some things. When I go back in my life and say, Lord, you brought me through this, you brought me through this, you brought me through that, I get so filled in my spirit that I just almost, it takes me to another level of gratitude.
So the pipe gets clogged. Let's go back to how the pipe gets clogged. Sometimes it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unrepentant sinning. Mm-hmm. Will clog the pot. And the only way to deal with that is confess it and say, and turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. The other one is the burdens of this world will take care of that. And the solution to that is to go into God and say, Lord, none of this really matters.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't, you know, secularly, it doesn't matter. What kind of car I own, my house I own, the work challenges. What really matters is my relationship with you and with others. Ultimately, that's what counts. So, you know, look at those things. Ask God if there's any issues there. So sometimes anxiety, worry, obsession with finances and material and job clogs the pipe, and that's scriptural.
Yeah, and sometimes it's plain old time. You haven't made the time.
Right.
A lot of times.
Step one, I think is pretty uniform, pretty applicable to any and everybody. You got to set some time aside. And think about the married couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you guys are not communicating, if Linda and I are not communicating, if I had not exhibited for me courage to say, I need to tell you about it. Because I felt like the things I needed to tell her that would bother me were childish, but they were bothering me, so I still needed to talk about them,
mm-hmm.
even if it made me look childish. You communicate, communicate, communicate.
That, and I think that's the same with God, that you do have to have communication, two-way communication, not always just going to God, Lord, I need this. Can you help me with this? And nothing wrong with that, because I definitely do that. But also listening, because communication is too, we impede so much when we do not listen.
Right. We're busy giving him the laundry list of what we want. We don't stop to get, what does he want?
Yeah.
Or what do you want? And man, when you can get there and you want what God wants, get out of the way.
I'm telling you.
Because things are going to happen.
And sometimes we clog the pipe because I've done this by not asking God in our next step, whatever that is, job, family,
right.
What is it you want me to do?
Where do you want me
Where
to go?
Do you want me to go? I think I've made a decision, and I had to go back and think, did I ask God about this?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm trying to be like, no, I don't think I did. That's why it's like this. But, you know, use that. I'm like, he is our counselor. He is a mighty God that we can go to for just about, not just about, for all things, anything, everything.
I'm writing as we go because the Lord keeps giving. So, you know, so when we get finished, we're going to have a list.
Wow.
A really good one.
Good.
So, okay. Unsurrender.
Yeah.
Will clog the pot. So, and that's kind of the sin thing, really. But it's when you have said, no, Lord, I ain't doing it. Or, yes, Lord, I'm going to keep doing this, even though you told me to stop. those cloth the pie.
Or I just want to do this.
Oh,
I'm not ready to give this up. I just want to do this. Like, one of the things.
Now, God's not mad at you.
No.
He's not condemning you. I love to think of it this way because it's humorous, but it's true. We've all seen the, have you seen the slap head emoticon, you know, where the hand comes up and it hits the forehead, like, oh my gosh, what a, you know, that's how I see God sometimes. He's in heaven going, oh, okay, all right, go ahead. Let me know when you finish with that little experiment because this ain't going to work.
And even with unplugging, sometimes fasting and prayer work for somebody. I just thought about that.
Oh, good.
You get a little clearer with fasting and prayer. And, you know, sometimes when I'm really, really, like, I'm just really needy, desperate.
Desperate to hear God.
I just lay on the floor and prostrate.
Oh,
I don't act.
An attitude, a physical expression of the attitude of being humble before God.
And I just stay there. I don't talk. I don't do anything.
I would highly encourage our listeners to try this.
Oh, it's powerful.
But that is, don't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Go find the most private place you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get on your knees, I can't get on my knees anymore, hardly. Get on your knees. If you can lay on the floor, but get into a position of humbleness and don't say a word.
Just listen.
And wait. And now, it may take a couple times. I mean, I can't promise you, but I can speak from my experience. Those have been the most meaningful times I've ever had with the Lord is when I've gotten into that. And usually it's because I'm desperate for some help, for an answer, or I'm just so emotionally bankrupt that I just need a fresh feeling.
And this is helpful, and some people may, you know, find it whatever. If you anything we suggest, you don't have to take any one of those. You do what works for you.
Yeah.
But I went to one church and they call it soaking in the glory of God. And you just, when I'm soaking, I am not asking God for anything other than I need you to refill me. So,
or you're praising.
Or I'm praising him. So I sometimes prostrate, sometimes I sit quietly. They have soaking music, which is wonderful because sometimes soaking music.
Oh, that's about that.
Yeah, soaking music is spontaneous worship music that people have. It's churches that do this where they have spontaneous worship right there. The musicians are coming up with it right as they're going.
There's
no script or anything. It's totally spontaneous. So I look for those soaking music. I do it on YouTube or whatever, but you can find. But I consider myself, I close my eyes, and I am soaking in the presence of God in his glory. And I am a very imaginative person, so I just imagine myself letting the glory of the Lord fall upon me.
Wow. I think we've come up with some really good things, but I need to practice.
Well, it's probably because I have a vivid imagination, but I usually end up having an experience with God when I soak in his presence.
Okay, so let's go down, because again, you know me, I always want to get back to the practical. So I've got a list that we've started. I'm kind of writing as we go.
Okay, I'm going to let you do that. Mm-hmm.
You know, set aside some time. Allow God to express himself through you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a writer, write. If you're a painter, paint. If you're a musician, allow spontaneous composition. I'm not a musician, so I'm not really good. If you're a singer, sing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're singing, don't sing a hymn. Sing what you're feeling.
Sing what you're hearing.
And he will express himself. I believe that you will find that he will express. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You start singing your literal praises, for example. Lord, you are the wonderful, you're great, I can't, you know, all the things you've done. Next thing you know, the pipe gets unclogged.
Mm-hmm.
So those are praise, you know, if you can't do anything else, then begin praise. And I would encourage you, now for me, it's hymns work, but occasionally, sometimes, I just literally sing my praises.
Mm-hmm.
They're my words, they're sentences,
that's
they're
powerful.
Phrases, but I sing them. The other one is, and this I just realized because you brought it up, is you may need to go get some help.
Mm-hmm. And
you
that's
know,
okay.
Go to your pastor. If you're Catholic, go to confession. I don't know. You know, and find somebody that you respect, that you really, you know it will help you and is qualified to help you. Okay?
And a nudge,
and say, hey, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You know, this is happening, that's happening. And maybe they can help you through these steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure they'll give you the same ones.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all over the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's another one. And if you can't do a day, do a meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, you know, start somewhere.
Yeah, it can be fasting from television, fasting from,
there's many
things that you can fast from that you feel, and I would start with things that maybe impede your time or impede whatever, fast from, if you're on Facebook, that would be for me, 6 hours a day, which I'm not on it, that I couldn't be, but if that's one of the things that you spend a lot of time, fast from that for a couple of days or a week or something.
And spend that time.
And spend that time with
you
the
know,
Lord.
That's funny. I hadn't thought about it as a fast, but that's exactly what I need to do, and I know it, is I need to give up my little TV series or the movie I want to watch and take that time and go spend it with the Lord. I know what my solution is. And I'm going to ask you, you know, you guys can hold me accountable and talk about next Sunday, but that's fine. Excuse me. And then here's one that I had not thought about putting it right in it. I mean, I kind of knew it. It's kind of there, but you brought it up, and I love it. Humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Linda does a physical expression by laying prostrate, if that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
But by humble yourself, you come to the Lord and say, and you say, Lord, by myself, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be Christ on earth. By myself, I don't have great self-control. By myself, you know, and don't, you know, this is not about beating yourself
it's
up.
Not,
I'm not
it's,
saying
it's
just
about
admitting
him.
Your need.
Yeah, I need you now. Sometimes we become an empty vessel. It's about, Lord, I need you.
So admit your need. I'm going to make this list when I'm done. Write this up. Admit your need.
Mm-hmm. Admit your need.
Because a lot of times we are hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious, you know, and God's like, well, yeah. When you're finished trying all your resource, you let me know. I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I see the Lord up there. Like I said, I love the slap forehead emoticon. The other one I'm doing right now, and you can't see it. I've got my orange bow just looking at you, like off top of my over the rims of my glasses, going, okay, go ahead. Give it, you know, try that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're here. It's time.
It's time. I think it turned out the Holy Spirit took over once again, and it was a good program. But maybe the thing that we're going to do is even an exercise now into just we're going off the program, but we're not going to shut the program down. In the last 60 seconds, we just want to say spend these 60 seconds hearing what God has to say for you. And quietly play music, and then at the end of the program, we'll be done. But if you're not done spending time with God, you keep on going. So, Lord, help us spend time with you in the next 60 or more seconds. You guys have a good week.